Everybody know what the water situation is in Atlanta? It's right now it's very similar to Australia. I don't know what they're going to call this new desert, the Great Desert Southeast. Let me share some other current information in that the well drillers in the north of Georgia cannot keep up with the number of new wells that are being drilled in the urban areas of Georgia, primarily for irrigating lands, landscape. We're looking at losing millions, if not billions, of dollars worth of landscape plants, and the predictions are not good. Warmer and drier than usual winter. Lake Lanier will probably be empty. The reservoir for Athens, they're putting an extension on the water intake. We will be below the current water intake by Thanksgiving. So with this in mind, let's look down inside some wells across the southern region. This was a CSREES Southern Region Special Water Quality Project. My cooperators in this are Glenn Beck, University of Kentucky. He's with the Kentucky Geologic Survey. Monty Dozier and John Smith from Texas A&M. Michael Kaiser from Oklahoma State. Bill Branch from LSU. Sam Dennis from Tennessee State. And William Hodges from Tuskegee University. What I'm going to do today is kind of take you across the southern region and look into some of the wells. Many of you may have heard me talk before, seen some of this. Most of these videos are new. I'm not going to go back through all the old stuff I've collected. Be able to show you a few wells in Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Texas, and Louisiana. William Hodges in Tuskegee has not participated yet. I believe he keeps going back and forth overseas. As soon as he gets back in country and is a little more permanent, we'll have some videos from Alabama. Let me tell you about where we are in the project. The project was to equip and train groups across the southern region in using this new well camera technology. It's not that new. What's new about it is it's gotten inexpensive enough for people in extension to work with. It's not a $20,000 or $30,000 camera anymore. It's $2,000. We have five cameras in service in Georgia, each one in each of the extension districts. I've done workshops to train county agents that are interested in operating. To date, we've worked in 28 counties, 72 wells. We've partnered with our health department. I've done two training sessions with our health department, 4 and 6. Our Department of Environmental Quality got interested. They now have a camera, and I did a training workshop with them. Let's jump into the fun part. Did anybody think that a privet root could grow through Schedule 80 PVC? There it is. Do you see it? This is a well that all of a sudden, it was on a farm in northern Georgia. All of a sudden, their water quality changed. We did a test, over 19 parts per million nitrate. This was a deep well, previously had no nitrate problem. How did they notice it? It's on a poultry farm. All of a sudden, the production went off on the farm, and they tested their well. This one came back with 20 parts per million nitrate. Year before hadn't, I mean the nitrate was 1.5 parts per million. I showed this to the well drillers. They claimed that either a stone damage on the PVC or lightning And yes, a privet root can grow through Schedule 80 PVC. But you go on down, that doesn't convince me it's the pathway for the nitrate. This is where the casing junctures with the rock. It's open borehole below this point. If you look at those particles as they're falling, you see the turbulence at where the casing meets the rock. This well started leaking for some reason. How are we going to use this? Well, this is information to show somebody how a well must be constructed. In these types of situations, this well, you've got to get a seal at that point. This could branch out into some of our state regs. Right now, for private wells, you only have to grout the top 10 feet. It's obvious to me that the place that the grout was needed is the bottom 10 feet of the casing, not the top. This branches out into the beginning of doing research. We have an aquifer in South Georgia called the Floridan. It's a confined carbonate aquifer that not only is in Georgia, but Florida, Alabama. Here's a video of gas coming out of the aquifer. Before I could stop the driller, he showed me that it wasn't methane by putting his lighter up to the casing. And since I'm standing here and still have my eyebrows, it wasn't methane. This carbon dioxide, and this is a new occurrence. The hypothesis we've developed is it's these are confined aquifers. There's probably a place in the confining unit that's not consistent. We have very low groundwater levels. They've been overpumped. Shallow water, acidic water, is probably intruded into that carbonate formation. The research we're going to do is to capture the CO2 and do isotopic carbon-oxygen signatures on it to see whether it's coming from that carbonate formation. University of Kentucky, they have three cameras now, two in the Kentucky Geologic Survey, one in the Kentucky Division of Water. We did 10 wells in the Jackson Purchase area on a training program. We did one well as a workshop for the Southern Region Conference. Kentucky Geologic Survey's done 15 more wells, and four more are scheduled to be done, 30 total. They also have 55 old VHS videos that they're going to digitize and share with this program. Here's some of the footage from some of their work. Here's evidence of what we call fracture flow. It's water flowing out of a large fracture. You can see the turbulence. You look in the lower left-hand corner, you'll see the turbulence of the water flowing out of the fracture. You can spend all day long trying to explain to a layperson a phenomenon like this, but I'd venture to say these videos convey it quite easily. Here's a recharge above the static water level. What's happening was water is cascading down the side of the borehole. It's what's causing the water surface to move. There's sheets of water flowing down the side of the borehole. Another one, rather than fracture flow, one's kind of hard to see with the lights, there's upwelling. You can actually see the particles in this well going opposite to gravity, which means it's artesian type with upwelling. Louisiana, they got a later start, but they're equipped. We did a training workshop where Kentucky and Tennessee traveled to Louisiana, worked with them to get them on board and trained. The plan was to go down and video some of the hurricane-damaged wells. That's been put on temporary hold, one, because a lot of the wells prior to the hurricane had been affected by salt water already and weren't in use. And second is, since they hadn't been in use and the wellheads got sheared off, they're having trouble finding them. They're buried now. But they did a well. And the one thing I've learned using this camera is you don't really know what's down there until you look. Here's a well they thought was just a regular well, but when they got down to 120 feet, there was a smaller casing that went on down to 300 and something feet. And what they did is this was a good practice well because they couldn't get the camera. It's like playing a video game. They couldn't get the camera to go into the smaller diameter casing. So they got a little ingenuity going and they put a coat hanger wire on the end of the camera to use as a guide to help guide the camera into the smaller casing. And here they just got it in. Nothing very noteworthy beyond this point, but the point being that nobody knew. There was no record of any type that said that this had a piece of 4-inch casing that went from 118 to 295 feet. If somebody had come and dropped a tape in this well, they'd have come back and told you that this well was 118 feet deep, not 295 feet deep. Oklahoma State, they're equipped and they're so good they trained themselves. They really didn't need a workshop. They work with a lot of irrigation wells. Here's one up in the panhandle. It has two problems. One, the screen is calcified, but it's in inertial type sand. The sand is moving through this ag screen and filling the well in. There's not a whole lot that can be done. If a well has not had the gravel and the screen size matched well enough to hold the sand back, other than a new German invention called a suction flow controller, you can actually put a device on the pump that throttles the suction from the pump back so that you don't pull as much sand through the screen. They also did another well that was had a lot of sediment movement. What they found was the slots in the casing, steel casing, the slots had started corroding. Tennessee, let's save the best for last. A group of extension agents and I and Bill Branch from Louisiana went to Tennessee to do their training workshop. The very first well that we put the camera in, this well's going to cost me a dinner for Sam Dennis. He was watching the video and yelled fish, and I said, "You're crazy. They're not fishing that well. You don't know what you're looking at." Southern blind cavefish. This was on the Tennessee State Experiment Station inside the city limits of Nashville. I don't know if anybody knew it, but most of the groundwater under Nashville is alive. They're not endangered, by the way. In fact, we don't even know the extent of the southern blind cavefish. They didn't know that it was under the city of Nashville. Texas A&M, they always do it better. They had enough fish in their wells for a fish fry. This is a good example of why you don't leave your well uncovered. I've even heard old-timers say, well, they used to use their well, they'd go catch catfish, and if they tasted a little money, they'd put them in the well for a week or so. We also did a well that was soon to become a Walmart parking lot. This is just to show you a screen. This is the screen portion of that well. The well was in fine shape. It was serving a church. But since Walmart bought the property, they knew that they didn't want an abandoned well under their parking lot. So the solution was to plug it. And we not only cameraed the well, but then got videos of this is a driller using a trimming rod to pump cement and plug this well that's going to be underneath the parking lot. We have a national issue of all the abandoned wells in this country that I think everybody's going to ignore. Just to sum up, I have a network where if you're interested in these videos, don't worry about writing that down. I'll give you my card, you email me, and I'll email you this link. With that, that's all I have. I have time for a few questions.
And then we'll take general questions for any of the speakers. Questions for Paul?
Well, how old these wells are?
How old?
Yes.
All ages. Some of them so old that nobody really has a record of them. Some are new. Fairly new, that just have not been constructed properly. Generally in Georgia, the way I get to a well is that there's been a problem that can't be explained any other way. A chemistry problem, some physical problem with the water, sediment. For instance, one common problem is people will say, oh, just all of a sudden a big slug of sediment came through and plugged up everything. Usually those cases, we go video them, there's a borehole collapse or a screen failure. But they're all ages, from brand new to so old that there's no record. Generally, what I've seen is steel is not going to last more than about 50 years under our conditions. Exactly. What the plan we want to go is to is anybody familiar with Penn State's Master Well Owner Program? We're going to look at creating a Master Well Owner Program to help get the word out. Basically, there are not many regs that are going to regulate private wells. We want to educate a group of experts that are going to get the word out that people are going to need to take responsibility for their private wells. This video will be used, of course, in that training. I currently use it to do continuing ed for well drillers, but we're going to probably create some curriculum across the southern region to put together the tools for extension to educate private well owners. Yeah. I'm in that process, and that'll be on the web, that network website. Right now, it's just a catalog of the videos, but as we progress, there'll be a case study related to a particular video. Case study including what led us there, what we saw, and then what the fix would be. The real win situation on that one with the privet root is it was the farmer, a well driller, and then us. And the well driller was right there watching it going, I can fix that. I can put a packer down in there and I can fix that problem. There, in some cases, of course, the fix for the problem is going to be what you saw at the last of my slide. They're going to fill that well and you're going to need a new one.